Men, do you ever feel like you just can't get ahead? Like you're misunderstood? Like you have no one to talk to that truly hears you?
And women, are you often frustrated, hurt, and saddened in your relationships with the men in your life?
What if there were a community of like-minded men going through the same challenges that would support, hear, and understand what you're going through?
Working together in unison to create understanding, intimacy, and strong connections. That's the Way of the Illuminated Warrior.
Way of the Illuminated Warrior Talk Show is a forum of candid conversations for men and women about men. Heard every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Being a man today is not always easy. Until now.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to another adventure of the Way of the Illuminated Warrior Talk Show. I am Waska, and I am here with Beth Porojic, and we're going to go with relinquishing control today, as per Beth's request. So I'm going to just let you take it away, sister. I'm relinquishing control and giving it up to you. You
go. Thanks, Waska. It's really great to see you again, of course, and it's really great to spend some time with all of our great listeners. And when you and I chatted earlier this week on what the topic was going to be, it took me about 0.25 seconds to decide that this was a good topic for me, because, of course, you and I are like-minded, and the universe always gives us something to learn from, opportunities to learn from. And if you don't take those opportunities to learn, then they hit you with a baseball bat later on and you got to do it again. So I've had quite the experience over the last 6 weeks or so. And I'm not going to even say probably the biggest lesson that I learned from my experiences over the last little bit is that if you, darn it all, if you just don't let go and trust and have faith, who the hell do we think we are that we're going to control the whole show, like, or any show, really? So I won't go into too much detail, but traveled over the Christmas holidays to the UK to go to my daughter's wedding, which was fantastic. So thank God we ticked that box. Everything went really, really well.
Congrats.
And it was a beautiful event, absolutely spectacular event. And now I have a son-in-law, which I still have trouble saying. It's kind of weird to say that you've got a son-in-law, but he's lovely and we're really happy to have him part of our family. But what happened as a result of that is we got stuck in the, part of us did, my son and myself got stuck with the COVID problems. Just a second, my dog, Ella, quiet. The dog's trying to control. So we got stuck, quote unquote, stuck in the UK, my son and I, for a period of time. We were safe and relatively healthy, but it was just yucky. It was just yucky. Let's just put it that way. And the only way, after days and days and days of me thinking, I am going to control this, I'm going to make this happen, I'm going to make this happen, we're going to be fine, then we're going to book our flights, and then we're going to come home. Like, I just went blah, 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 blah. And I have notes upon notes upon notes in my journal. This is what I'm going to do today, and I'm going to take care of it. Well, every single one of those things, there was no box ticked. It was all just X's and X's and X's. Nothing was going the way that Beth thought she could control it to go. And I would say on probably about day seven, day eight, I could look into my notes, but that doesn't really matter. Around day seven or eight. So that's how long it took me, a bloody week, to have what I would call a mini spiritual breakdown, aha, really ugly cry. And it came to me like this divine guidance. You don't have control of any of this stuff, Beth. Just breathe and relax. And it was almost like the guidance was coming through, like, we got this. We've got your hands. We're going to hold your hands. We've got your back. We've got your intelligence. We'll tell you what to do when it needs to be done. And your only work is to listen and to let us guide and to do the action as we suggest. And it was, I felt like 100 pounds was lifted off my shoulders because I was going to take all this stuff on myself. I cried some more, but the second cry was more a cry of relief. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I see. I can trust. But here's me at the same time going, okay, I'll trust with this hand, but I'm not quite sure I'm going to trust with this hand. So it took me another couple of days, to be honest, where I really let go. it wasn't as easy just going, yeah, had a nice little conversation, and Beth is in, you know, total faith and total trust, because there's old patterning there, right? Like, I like to control. I like to control my dog here and my house and my, you know, I like to control. And so it took me another couple of days to really let it go. And then I had, this is the last piece I'll say, then I'll let you talk because I'm talking through this whole thing.
Right.
I had an actual visceral physical response to that. And I felt very anxious, very, very vulnerable, which I don't even like to say the word. It's like a swear word to me, vulnerable. I felt very vulnerable. And I felt feelings in my body that I swear to God I've never felt before. In my body. So I was anxious. Of course I was. I was angry. Of course I was. I was frustrated. Of course I was. I was also joyful, though, and happy that none of us got really, really sick, and we were in a safe place, and, you know, we still had food in our fridge. And, like, so there's elements of grace and joy and gratitude and happiness, but there were these elements of what would be perceived as negative or low vibrating emotions that I viscerally felt in my body. I'd never felt that, ever, because I was going to control those little buggers. I was going to control anything called anxiety, and I was going to control anything called depression, let's say, or frustration. Or I'm not supposed to be like that. So I'm just going to squish them. I'm going to resist them. But they to this day, my body is still buzzing. Mm-hmm. And I'm allowing myself to feel every bloody thing that comes in, every piece of it. And sometimes I'm still angry. And I'm like, well, be angry then. Be angry. You're not going to hurt anybody. That's not the goal, is to hurt anybody. But to certainly experience these feelings in my body, it's the strangest thing. But I'm almost happy about it. I don't know, it's hard to describe. Like, who would want to be happy about feeling them? But it goes to show me, at least, that for the last 62 years of my life, man, oh man, I'm good at really squishing things or ignoring things or putting them under the rug. Not anymore, man. This is like newfound freedom for me. So that's my story, and that's why I wanted to share that topic, because it's so fresh for me. And part of my concern, Waska, was that when I returned to Canada, that I was going to go back into the old ways, right? Sometimes you go through a bit of a crisis and you're like, oh, you come home and everything's good. Let's just ice it all over. And not me, man. I'm not giving this up, and I'm going to hold you, my dear friend, partially responsible for that.
All right.
Yeah, I've got to. And so I wanted to read what you posted on your Instagram this week. What we resist shall persist. Let go and trust. Avoiding unpleasant feelings will not make them go away. Allowing ourselves to feel fully and deeply is the way through. Our greatest challenges are our greatest opportunities for growth. So I don't normally print a whole ton off of social media, but I did print that. And I'm going to paste it in a fresh page in my journal, because that's exactly what it's all about. Thank you. Thank you, Waska. So you must have experienced something along lines of this for you to resonate with you too, right?
Absolutely. And thanks for sharing those feelings, especially, and how you came out the other side. And I'm glad you're all doing better health-wise with COVID and having a son-in-law. It's a beautiful thing. So mazel tov. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's beautiful. So, yeah, I was very happy that you picked this topic, because I've spoke about being a Scorpio before, and Scorpios are very much about being in control, and I'm a Leo rising. Leos like to be in control. So I learned a while back, just banging my head against the wall, you know, I'm going to control, I'm going to be in control. And it doesn't really suit me or usually the people around me. So I usually take a step back and just remember that I'm not in control. And it really is liberating for myself. You know, maybe you felt that as well, to like really just let, as they say, let go, let God. I remember hearing that a lot. Growing up, I went to Alateen. You know, my dad is an alcoholic. So, my mom got me and my sister into Alateen. And I remember that was one of the things, let go and let God. And I was never really that religious. But as I got older, I'm like, you know, whether like I or you or we call creator, God, great spirit, whatever. I do believe in that, just relinquishing that control. So yes, I think the energy of what's going on, I have two other really close friends who are probably, not probably, I know they are, resonating very much with what we're talking about here. So that post, along with a few others, was exactly what we're talking about. So this past Tuesday, a very good friend and mentor, Oceana Fastwolf, passed away. She was elderly and had some dementia, and we knew it was coming, didn't know it was going to be this soon, but, you know, very dear to my heart. She's an Apache woman who I got connected with probably 15 years ago. That's where the tradition of where my name, Waska Wabus, my spiritual name came from. So that was a hard hit, because I spent a lot of quality time with her, and, you know, it's, I could go into the stories, but, you know, really just honoring her and just all what she gave to really the world and the people, because she fought with her elders for 15 years to bring Native ways to non-Native people. And she wore her elders down. They're like, okay, fine, go teach the non-Natives. Oh. And that's why I, like many, many others around the world, were blessed to have her teachings. And, you know, so that hit me pretty hard. And then the sledgehammer came the next day when another dear friend, Theda Staley, passed away. And I found out from her daughter, who I met them at a spiritual gathering called Spiritual Unity of Tribes back in the early 2000s. And I met Angel, which is the daughter. I think she was probably in her early teens at the time. And I interviewed her, and I remember, like, just, you know, being so emotional, this young, beautiful girl and her dreams. And, you know, we all stayed connected, her and Tommy, the you know, Angel's father, and Theda, who passed, or her husband. But anyway, so Theda, you know, she was battling cancer, but it was not expected. So two in one day, two in one week, just really hit me super hard. So I, aww, you know, I just dove deep, and I, you know, my eyes are still puffy from crying so much this past week. And I just said, you know what, there's really nothing that important in my life. I'm just going to feel this. I'm going to go deep. I'm going to cry. I'm going to, you know, be sad. I'm going to feel whatever I got to feel, and just honor them in any way I can, because one of my insights was, okay, yes, I feel really, really sad and down, but it really, really isn't as much about me as it is about thinking about, like, their families, mm-hmm, were left. You know, Angel, who's you know, she just got married, like, not that long ago, a year or so ago. You know, I'm just thinking about their family, and same with Oceana, her daughter, who I kept in touch with, and it's really three friends in less than 2 months. Joanne Shenandoah, a good friend of mine, also wonderful, wonderful person, who advocated for the Oneida people up in upstate New York. You know, she's a Grammy Award winner, a beautiful singer-songwriter. She passed also of cancer. So it's like three, you know, three in a very short period of time. It's just, I'm like, wow, you know, I'm very grateful every day anyway, but that really hit me hard. So when you brought up this topic, I'm, you know, just, you know, let go, let's see how spirit can guide and direct us and not be in control. I think it was perfect. So thank you for...
Oh, you're very welcome. You know, and it's always a divine synchronicity anyway, right? It always ends up working. And so what comes up for me as you tell me the stories about these beautiful people who have made their passing is compassion. Mm-hmm. So another beautiful emotion that we're all capable of having. And I'm sending you compassionate energy, and I'm sending their families compassionate energy. Mm-hmm. And when people make their passing, of course, it's beautiful, probably for some respects for their souls and their afterlife experiences, but it's always very, very difficult for those of us who are left. So that compassion is really important, isn't even a good enough word for it. It's just very, very necessary, that compassionate energy. And then I guess where we can go a little bit with this too, Waska, is sometimes people would get frustrated with that, like, why did this person die at such a young age, or a talented person, or that, what, whatever, why would they do that? And that requires some of that rubber to hit the road too, where you say, I don't know. It's something between that person's soul and their creator or their universe, whatever they, and we have to trust that that's part of the process too. But that's a hard pill to swallow. It's a hard pill to swallow. Yeah.
It is. I had that conversation with my older son just about challenges and all. And I said, well, there's a theory, if you will, that we choose our parents to come in. And he thought it was like, he's like, no, I don't think so. I'm like, well, I like to think that you chose me and that you chose your mom. And, you know, he's like, well, there's, you know, what about all the hard stuff? He's like, why would I choose to, you know, have to do this? I'm like, well, at the time, you had the awakening or awareness or choice, like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to come back. If you know, I said, if you believe in reincarnation, he's not sure if he does or not, that yeah. That you were going to take on these challenges the next time you come back. So you had that awareness at the time. So yes, when you come back, you're not aware that you made this what they call soul contract. You're there, and hopefully whatever, you know, that energy and that spirit within you remembers that energetically and like, okay, I'm going to rise to these challenges and I'm going to elevate my consciousness and being this time around. And, you know, so you chose me, bud. That's why I said you chose. Like, all right, Pops, I love you. I chose you. So
I'm of that same belief as well, is that our little souls are sitting up in the heavens, so to speak, and looking down and saying, okay, this is what I want to take care of this time in this particular lifetime. Who best to be my parents to make sure that that can happen? And then you get down here to this crazy planet. And
sometimes,
you say,
seriously,
I asked for this? Are you kidding me? That's where we need to have a little bit of a sense of humor, I think, too.
Yes, sense of humor helps a lot. But it really is. That's like kind of one of the taglines for the way of the Illuminated Warrior, is like rising to the challenges, you know? And I've told the guys for many, many, many years that these challenges are opportunities for growth. And it's not just you know, it's just a spiel. It's true. I mean, we don't grow when life is really, really easy and we don't get pushed and have to step out of our comfort zone. I mean, you know, just listening to you share your story, it seemed very, very uncomfortable for you, but you went into it and you felt it and you emerged with some really good insights. And that's a beautiful thing. That's growth. That's what it's all about, right?
Right.
We'll be right back after this.
Do you sometimes feel down, lost, or lonely? Are your finances feeling sluggish? Can your relationships use a healthy tune-up? Don't fear, bro. Help is here. Experience the benefits of connecting with other men who are going through similar challenges. Be supported in our safe, sacred, and inspiring monthly telecircle with the Brotherhood of the Illuminated Warriors. Connect with Waska for one-on-one mentoring with the first session completely free. What have you got to lose? Check out illuminatedwarrior.com or send an email to waska@illuminatedwarrior.com. You're invited to step up your game and join us. You'll be glad you did.
A whole ton of my journaling and writing over the last couple of weeks since I've been home has been around that vulnerability. Why are you afraid to be vulnerable? What's that block inside of you? I'm not so afraid now, but I certainly was, because when I was there and I was not at my, you know, 100%, not even close. I didn't like being vulnerable. And my daughter, the one that just got married, she and my brand new son-in-law were so super helpful to me, so helpful. And she came to where I was staying. I'd rented an Airbnb so I could be comfortable. She came to me and she held my hand and she said, Mom, it's okay to ask for help. I did not like my child saying that to me at the time.
You are a control freak, huh?
I am the one that's supposed to be saying to her when her times are tough that it's okay to ask for help. And there's my 27-year-old, just got married, saying to me, it's okay to ask for help. And I cried so hard. She held my hands. Beautiful. And she said, Mom, it's okay. We're going to bring you food. We're going to take care of stuff. We're going to, whatever you need, we're going to take care of from you. Your job is to sit here and binge watch Downton Abbey or whatever I was watching at the time. And she said, I felt so vulnerable. It was so weird to do that in front of your child or to have your child come. But then after things settled down for me, I thought, how beautiful. So she was comfortable enough to come and say that to me. And she would probably 100% say that to her friends, to her husband, to, you know, anybody. She had that compassion and was willing to kind of pull that vulnerability out of me. I'm like, this is a blessing big time. but I didn't like it at the time.
Yeah.
It only came as a result of my contemplation and my processing everything that's gone through, right? So now I'm not so afraid.
That's a huge blessing. And I find the same thing. I learn a lot from my kids, really. I mean, they're in their 20s also. And it's like, wow, you know, they have just as much knowledge, just as much wisdom at their age, because it's not, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter, you know, it's just really the experiences and the insights that we have. We really can all help each other. So I think that's wonderful. And if you're willing to be a little bit more uncomfortable and be vulnerable, like what were you so afraid of? Being vulnerable. What was
that? I was it really at the core of it bothered me not to be self-sufficient. Somewhere along the line in my upbringing or I was taught, you don't need anybody. You've got this all to yourself. Now there will be people, like you will have friends and you will have coworkers and you will have a spouse maybe and you will have children. Like I'm not going to live on an island. But somewhere inside of me, like my psyche was all worked up to say, you don't need anybody. You're entirely self-sufficient. What a bunch of crap.
It's something that was implanted there probably at a very, very young age. So I'm going to keep asking you until you're super, super uncomfortable. Don't want to answer. So,
okay. Let's make this a session for me. Go ahead.
Hey, why not? It's a session. Whatever's a session for you is a session for everybody else. We all get to the same thing one way or the other. So what is your oldest memory that you could recall now that you felt like you needed to be self-sufficient and stand on your own 2 feet and you didn't need help?
That is an excellent question, Waska. And thank God in my processing, I went backtracked and into that. I told this story before, so I'll keep it really, really short, but I was born and raised in a super small town, Roman Catholic, very strict Roman Catholic family. And my parents, especially my mother, married my father to kind of rescue her, so to speak. It was like she was a woman back in the day where women didn't really have careers unless you're a teacher or a nurse. Your best bet was to get married to somebody who was a decent person and have babies, and you're Catholic, you can't practice birth control. So we'll see how many babies you can have and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I remember, because my father was the primary breadwinner, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. My father repeatedly, and I know they didn't do this consciously. I know they didn't, but my father would repeatedly come home on Fridays with some money for my mom to buy groceries. There was no online banking and all that at the time, right? Everything was done with cash. And my dad would hand over money to my mom for groceries. And she had the tiniest little change purse, one of those things with the little clasp on top.
I remember those. And
she would open it. She would fold up whatever, I don't know how much money it was, but fold up this money and put it in there. And she would call it her little food purse. All the time, I'm going to put my money in my little food purse. And she would say to me and my sister, not so much to my brother, but my older sister and I, don't you ever rely on somebody like this. She was demeaned personally or on some kind of personal level that she had to rely on a man to hand her money so that she could feed her children. And I remember that repeatedly. That didn't happen once. That happened many, many, many times. Her little food pouch, and don't ever rely on somebody to do this for you. So then my sister and I got the wheels turning, even when we were just little kids. I have to be self-sufficient. I can't be asking a guy or whoever is going to be in my life for money. I have to take care of that myself. That became a driving force for both my sister and I to make sure that we never had to do that. But it never worked, because when you're in a relationship or you're in a strong, committed relationship, let's say, there's give and take with money, there's give and take with chores, there's give and take, like all kinds of give and takes. As you know, you've been in long-term relationships before, and it never really worked. And in fact, I look back and I think I was probably a bit of a bitch to some of my boyfriends and partners and things like that over the years for that reason. Instead of opening my heart up and embracing all that we could share with each other, I was like, no, I'll only let you come so close, because the rest of it is self-sufficient Beth here. And self-sufficient Beth, so should you leave, should I not be in relationship with you and you and you and you, I've got this covered. Well, that's crap too, because that's where the vulnerability didn't come through.
Yeah. So let me ask you something. Yes, if I can. So there's a Taoist saying that keep following after money and security and your heart will never unclench. So thinking back, would you say that it was restrictive and your heart was clenched and you weren't really open to really even having those really true authentic relationships fully open-heartedly with somebody else at that time?
Absolutely. And I can think of one boyfriend in particular who I would call it being in love with. I was in love with him and he was in love with me. And the relationship didn't end well, and it's because of me. I know it. And I've been home, tried to, I'm going on social media and whatnot. I'd like to talk to him. If he'd be willing to have a coffee or something like that, or even just
invite him on the show. We could have a little intervention for both of you.
because in being vulnerable now, like I'm willing to be more vulnerable, my heart hurts a little bit for the way I treated him, the way I ended the relationship. I was just I'm going to repeat myself. I was a bitch. And it was all wrapped up around that self-sufficiency thing. And there may have been such greater opportunity. And although I'm not going to flog myself because the relationship ended a long time ago, but there may have been opportunity for me to be more open-hearted. I'm even bringing this more open-hearted Beth and vulnerable Beth into my current relationship. And I've been with my husband for 30 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, beautiful.
But asking for more help, asking for more assistance. And of course, lo and behold, just yesterday, I threw up my back, which is like a form of insecurity, right? Like I was trying to control too many things and now my back hurts. So I positioned myself for this call in a chair that allows me to put like a heating pad on my back. And just before the show, my husband came up and said, "Can I get you anything? Because I know you're going on the show with Waska. Do you need anything?" And I went, "I can't ask for anything." Like even for a split second. And then I said to him, "Actually, would you mind going down and put the heating pad in the microwave and bring it up so that I can be more comfortable while I talk to you?" I thought, oh, because that was big for me. Now, for some people listening, that might be like nothing. They probably could ask for help.
But that's very, very big. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're familiar with Dr. John Sarno's work, he's passed now, but this guy, as far as I'm concerned, is a miracle worker. I used to have chronic back pain when I was young, okay? And I blamed it on, well, you know, I hurt my back playing lacrosse or lifting weights with my buddies, but it was never that because it went away literally like this, okay?
No way, tell me.
So a buddy of mine, he's in television production also, actually he's a photographer. He called me up because he knew we shared this chronic back pain stuff. He's like, "My back pain's gone." I'm like, "Dude, what happened? What'd you do?" He's like, "I read this book, Dr. John Sarno. This guy interviewed and researched like thousands of people about mostly back pain, but also other pain in your body." So the long and short of it is that yes, if you actually had an accident, you had some structural injury, then of course you might have some pain and debilitation. But if there was no particular incident where you have physical structural damage, what he discovered was out of thousands of patients, okay, it is trapped emotional energy like in your back, okay, so there is a slight oxygen deprivation there. So through conscious breathing techniques and meditation, you breathe into that area. And you don't even have to know exactly what the emotional blockage is. I mean, of course, that would be helpful, but you don't have to. You just have to acknowledge that I'm holding some emotions in my body, which if you think about it, if you're angry, if you're sad, if you're depressed, if you're feeling shame or guilt or whatever, your body's usually pretty tense. And that's what I usually, you know, get down to with the guys. Where are you feeling it in your body? And it's such an indicator. So your body's holding on to this blocked energy, you know, so you just acknowledge, okay, I'm holding on to some emotional blocked energy.
Okay.
Breathe through it. And there's a little bit more to it. But if you look up Dr. John Sarno, S-A-R-N-O, one of his books, they're all pretty much similar on how to release this pain. It's really is incredible. So when I hear you say that, that you hurt your back, you threw your back out or whatever, because I used to do that also. So anyway, after he told me about this, I got the book and it was gone. A miracle. I'm not going to spend too much time on that, but it cured it for me like almost instantaneously. I'm like, oh my God. I sat down, I'm like, all this family stuff, which it just seemed so natural and normal to me. There was always family stuff, but I really got down to it. I'm like, this stuff is eating me alive. And that was the impetus for me to start doing a lot more work on myself. But it released that back pain immediately. So I highly recommend.
That's excellent. Yes. Well, there's another value of us having these conversations, right? So there's going to be not only me, because I'll for sure grab the book or one of his books. We're sharing this information with so many others too. That's valuable, valuable stuff.
Sure. Well, you're already doing a lot of the work already. So for you, that's why I was asking the question, the follow-up question, which you started speaking about. So you had these realizations back then that you, when you were small with your sister and all, and your mom put this, you know, this energy out there of not having enough and not relying on anybody, and you had the awakening, as you said, so you're bringing it into your life now. It sounds like there's still some kind of blockage there.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm. You know, it is really about doing what you're doing, and even deeper, you know, just really being vulnerable with your husband. And if you need something, you know, I don't know why we do that. So many of us do that. I'll do it for you in a heartbeat. But for me, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm okay. Oh, yeah, I'm good. You know, as I'm crotched over in pain. Right. But that's the worst. We're like kind of self-martyrs, you know, but it really is empowering to let go, as we're saying, let go of that control, let go of that resistance, ask for help. And you already know, like, one of the things that has been blocking your energy, you know, so you could let that go now and, mm-hmm. you know, be creative maybe, because I'm, you know, in the back also, the back relates to, you know, the front, bigger, as the saying goes, you know, bigger the back, the bigger the front, you know, it's all about balance. So on the front is really the second chakra, you know, the Svadhisthana, where the seat of creativity and the womb is there, and our you know, reproductive organs, and also it's all about being creative and co-creative and releasing. It's, you know, being fluid. It's a yin. It's a feminine energy. So, you know, you could do some more creative work maybe and put that energy into it, and that might help release as well.
Well, of course, as we keep saying to each other, there's no coincidence. I have to share with you now that you said that, because now inside my head I'm chuckling a little bit. Because throughout the whole month of December, when I was had that challenge, I wasn't creating. I was just too wrapped up in getting everything done day to day and what had to be done and all that kind of stuff. So a whole month goes by. I generally journal quite prolifically, and I started to take and hired a writing coach just to explore writing practices, and no big goal in mind. I just wanted to explore. It sounds like fun to me. And I have a veritable craft store in the room next door to me, all kinds of different modalities, all kinds of cool things. Haven't been there for 6 weeks. Been in that room for 6 weeks. And my printer is in there. So before this call, I went to print something. I walk into this room and I'm like, I actually said it out loud. I said to the room, I'm coming back today and we're going to do some kind of creative work.
Well, so, that's beautiful. So it's once again connecting the dots and putting action to the awareness, which is beautiful, and releasing, as you're saying, it's great. That's great.
I can even feel, as we were chatting, I can feel the pain subsiding.
We'll be right back after this. Hey guys, this is Waska. Listen, if you're hearing my voice, there are no coincidences. Are you ready to get unblocked and take the next step forward, whether it's with relationship issues, finances, or just moving into the next phase to elevate yourself? Listen, bros, this is what I do. I'm here for you. Drop me an email at Waska, that's W-A-S-K-A, at illuminatedwarrior.com. We will work on this together and take you to the next step. I promise you'll be glad you did.
Another emotion that I found that I wasn't comfortable with, but getting more and more comfortable with, is humility and humbling. It almost goes like hand in hand a little bit.
Absolutely.
With vulnerability,
absolutely.
Right? To be humbly asking for someone for help, so to speak, or I don't like that either. I'm getting more comfortable with it, but I didn't like that at the time. It just reeked of being out of control and And I guess it is being.
Okay, so I'm going to call you out on that and say, by not being vulnerable and not asking for help, you're being selfish. And I'm going to tell you why. Okay.
Okay.
So this is all so synchronistic and beautiful. So before this past week, last week before Oshana and Theta passed away, a good friend of mine who lives on her own.
Yeah.
She lives on her own with her cat of 22 years. The cat was failing, liver damage and all. So anyway, I went to the vet with her and all, and she had a hard time even asking me to go into the vet with her. So the vet said, you know, the cat is only going to get worse, and it was wasting away to nothing. So the decision was made to euthanize the cat. So she was like, okay, you know, and I could see she was a wreck. I'm like, I will come with you. And it was just hard for her. And eventually she said, okay, you know, I can't do this on my own. So that was huge for her just to have, but she doesn't have anybody here. She's only been in this area, for a short period of time. So I went with her and she, you know, she lost it. Of course she lost it because as you know, having a four-legged, it's just as traumatic as a two-legged, sometimes even more, you know. Mm-hmm. So she allowed me to support her in that way and be there with her for a few days and helped her get through it, which normally, you know, she wouldn't do. We don't know each other really that well. I mean, we're friends, but so that was a beautiful thing for her, and it brought our friendship closer and it allowed her to grieve openly and to not have to do it herself and to make these decisions. Aww. And she just didn't know what to do and how to be, and she didn't want to be in this house by herself when she's had this cat, you know, for 22 years in her life, you know. And then another situation, a few days ago, I could tell from some text a buddy of mine, I'm like, something's not right. So I reached out to him and he's like, well, I really appreciate you calling. And I'm like, bro, what's going on, man? I know you're off, man. Something's going on. I don't like to talk about it. I'm like, I'm here. I'm just going to listen. Just get it out. He didn't want to share. It's eating up a life. His mom just passed away, and he's not letting out his grief, his emotions. He just doesn't even know how to deal with it. So it was like a huge, huge release for him. Also, he got really vulnerable with me, and it brought our friendship again closer. Also, and I said, bro, this is beautiful, man. Thank you for letting me be there for you. Now we're hugging, and so. I was joking a little bit about being selfish, but to a degree, it really is a gift. You know, they allowed me to be there with them, and it's helped with my grief also, you know. So the three of us connected for a hike recently, and I'm like, we're going to hug it out. We're going to cry it out, whatever we got to do. But it's so nice not to have to do it by yourself. And that's
by yourself.
Really, yeah, that's kind of what that post that you read in the beginning, where they led to. It's like, we don't have to do this on our own. We don't have to be super strong. We don't have to stay stoic. We can be vulnerable. We can release, and we can let go of the control of what we think we need to do and who we need to be, and let others help us. You know, it's a gift for everybody.
It is. And you know what? It's also a testament, even as I'm watching you and I can see your auric field, even though we're on an electronic screen. A real testament to you and your strength, though, Waska, because they would have had to have felt, even though it was difficult, especially for the gentleman whose mother had passed, especially difficult for him, but you're a place of safety. Like, you can't open up that heart. You can't open up that space of grief. You can't open up that space of making a decision to euthanize your cat unless you feel safe. So they must, and it's such a tribute to you and the work that you do and the man that you aspire to be and continue to aspire to be is to have that place of safety for them. You have to feel very freaking safe to be that vulnerable, right? That's brilliant.
It's true. And I appreciate that. But like I said, it was just as much a gift for me also. So, you know, to me, the takeaway is we don't have to do all this difficult work alone, you know. And if we reach out, and not everybody's going to be there, not everybody's in that same headspace, but we know who might be, you know, in that same vibration of, you know, and there's no judgment on anybody, but you know, it's really important to reach out to other people who can be there to support us and just tying it all together, just like for yourself, ask for that help. There's no shame in asking for help. Actually, it's a strength, you know, and especially for guys. Guys don't ever want to ask for help most of the time. You know, a lot of guys just don't want to ask for that help. So it really is important for us to go down that road and see how it feels and embrace the difficult, you know, uncomfortable feelings that you and I and my friends have felt, you know, because we come out stronger on the other side and it helps us grow, and then we could be there for other people.
Right. Are you, I believe I already know the answer to this, but I think it's great for this conversation we're having. You talked about holding emotion, you know, in my back because my back is sore today. Are you going on hikes and things and your body aching and paining? There, I'm learning that there's so much more value and taking times of reflection for that, for what's, you know, asking some crucial questions of myself. Like, what is that sore arm about? What is that headache about? What is that? And it takes a little bit of due diligence. It certainly takes some time. And I would have normally poo-pooed any of that. You know, headache, schmedache, I'm going to just carry on with my day. I'm spending more and more time, even if it's for 5 minutes, doesn't have to be a great big meditative hour-long meditation or anything like that, just for 5 minutes with my pencil in hand and my journal and say, what is that all about? What is that?
Great.
I wonder what that is, right? The exploration is beautiful. It's beautiful, even if it's wrapped up around a headache or a backache.
Yeah,
great insight. It's so beautiful. So beautiful, but it also takes time. So I think that's where people in our busyness and our stressful lives, especially now, crazy times, beautiful times too, but this is a bit of a crazy time, is to take the time. You'd think we'd have more time to do that, but people aren't taking that opportunity, you know, in droves.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people like you and I who still take it easy, but my goal no longer is to be in control. We'll go full circle back to the beginning of this conversation. And I can feel in my body when I start to do that again. I can feel the resistance when I start to go into that, oh shit, she's going back into control mode. I can just tell. Isn't that cool? Like,
it's awesome. It's such a great insight. Because if you think about it, right, so the back is all about like support, you know, the back and the shoulders. You can't do anything. If your back is out, you can't even carry your own body, let alone carry the weight of anything or anybody else, you know. So it really is all about support. And so you really, really need to ask for help, you know, just like you ask your husband for that heating pad. But it's the body gives us all the answers that we need, you know, it really does. So that's why, again, I love the exercise asking the guys, where are you feeling it in your body? Because the energy centers in the chakras and our meridians in our body really give us so much information, you know. So you're even if I didn't know anything about you and your back is out, it's like, you know, where do you need support, Beth? You know, I mean, it's all there, that the answers are there if we look at it, you know.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned like, the aches and pain. So I was hiking, as I shared, I think before we came on the live on this, that so I invited, you know, my friends to go on this hike because I'm like, we were all grieving. I'd say, hey, let's get together again. Like, let's hug it out. Let's cry. Whatever. We all needed some kind of distraction and not sitting at home just crying every day. It's fine to do that. We've done it a lot. We'll go back to doing it if we need to. So we went on this hike. And then we get back to the car and my friend, Janice, she's like, oh, I lost my phone. So we go back into the woods we wound up doing like another 7 miles or whatever. And my knees were screaming because I know distance and elevation, about 7-8 miles, 2000 elevation, my knees start to feel. So I said, no, I'm not letting you go back alone in there. And of course, you know, our other buddy, he came along and somebody else who found out what we were going through. So, well, I'm coming also. So we were probably, I don't know, maybe 12 miles in, and my knees are screaming because there's a lot of up and a lot of down. And normally I'm like, suck it up, dude, you know, be the man. And I'm like, you know what? We've got more than enough you know, help here. It was only like another half a mile to where we were pretty sure it had to be, which it was. It was at this rock outcropping that it fell out of her pocket. I'm like, you know what, dude, lay here in the woods. It just started snowing. I'm like, you don't have to be, you know, the macho dude. Your knees are telling you, ask for help, ask for support. You can't carry yourself, so how are you going to carry everybody else? And you still have miles to go to get out of the woods. So what are you trying to prove, you know? So getting back to that, my body's telling me something. I'm like, I don't have to walk the full distance to support them. I said, listen, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to keep calling the phone every like minute or whatever so you could hear it. And together, you know, we did it. So for me, that was a challenge. I'm like, I got to go the full distance with everybody, you know. But it was a beautiful surrender, release, being vulnerable and allowing, you know, what needed to happen, happened.
Yeah. Wow. That's a really, really good story. I like that story a lot. And it required you to be present moment and, you know, think that through pretty quickly. But with additional practice, the more we, you know, train our thought processes into being more mindful, into being more present moment, into listening to what's going on in our bodies, I believe the quicker that kind of stuff can happen. It's like anything else that you practice. It takes time at the beginning. But over a period of time, if my knees are screaming, then there's something else going on than just my knees screaming that an Advil will take care of. There's something more to it than that. So good for you. I celebrate that for you, Oscar, that you took the time where you understood that that was part of what was going on for you. Because it is pretty easy to blame, you know, we're getting old, so our bones are cracking or crooked, right?
Oh, yeah. One of my friends kept saying that. I'm like, dude, okay, I'm feeling old enough right now. I never feel old. I get it. But that's not what's totally going on here, okay? Cut me some slack.
Right. That's brilliant. And then sometimes maybe you can speak to this if you've ever had this experience, because I have now over the last couple of weeks. Sometimes I'm just using headache as an example. I don't have a headache, but using the headache as an example, can't get to the bottom of it, so to speak. And so there's another opportunity, though, for me to say to myself, well, let go, let God, let the universe. It'll come. Who do you think you're going to be controlling it by sitting here right now for 5 minutes and say, I'm going to figure out why I have a headache and it's going to come to me right now? Well, there's a form of control.
Absolutely.
The universe doesn't know it's 10:30 in the morning or 12 o'clock at night. It might come to me in the middle of the night. This is why you're getting headaches, right? So I just catch myself so many bloody times. I'm like, wow, you're a freaking control. Like, wow. The degree to which, and some people would have said to me, you seem like a go with the flow kind of person. Because maybe on the surface, I look like I'm a little bit like a go with the flow kind of person. But inside, it was like, control. Yeah,
but that's a great insight. And then you could change it, you know, and adapt to what works better for you as knowing that. And something just came to my mind also when you said that. So, you know, again, I'm totally about the control and reminding myself to let go of the control. So what also happened, we basically did that hike twice, okay? So it was only supposed to be whatever, 7 miles, wound up being almost like 14 miles, whatever. I was supposed to be volunteering, serving dinner to this woman's homeless shelter here. It was like 50 women counting. And actually, I wasn't going. I was serving the day before, and they said, oh, we only have one person serving, you know, tomorrow. Can you help out? And it happens to be my friend, you know, who was on the hike, who I just turned on to the place. So she and I was the only two people serving. So okay. I was like, really like, oh man, I'm like, the phone's important. I said, but we're hours away from getting back. So I was like getting, you know, this control. I'm like, I'll buy her a new phone. I don't care. We got to get back. We, you know, and I'm like, okay, dude, just breathe and relax. Okay. Because I take my commitments very, very seriously. I don't care if it's a video production or a volunteer experience, whatever it is. You know, so I'm like, okay, we're on this mission. You called everybody here for a reason. Just let go and just go with the flow. You're not gonna rush out of here now. She's very upset. You know, our phones are our lives. I get it. So it was at a high point. I couldn't really call anybody, but I texted and got another friend to cover and serve dinner, and you know, it worked out you know, divinely, you know, but I had to let go of that control, you know.
And then I bet you bucks when you decided that you could do that, you were going to do that, that probably that person's name just came right in, or you're thinking, how else can I take care of this commitment that's important to me? Oh, well, I'll call my buddy Joe. He probably could do it, blah, 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 blah. And the next thing you know, it's resolved.
Well, my text was, Wonder Woman, I need you.
Oh, here we go.
It was my friend Nicole who actually, you know, turned me on to this woman's shelter where I now volunteer at. And I'm like, Wonder Woman, I need you. So, and at first she's like, I can't, you know, it's going to be a blizzard. It's going to be a snowstorm. I can't do this. And she texted me back like about 15 minutes later. She's like, I got it worked out. So I'm like, yes, the universe, the friends, the energy is providing, because we're asking for help. We're relinquishing that vulnerability and putting it out there. Hey, I need some help. And, you know, it really is a strength. That's what I like really want the guys to really know and hear, that are not willing to like be vulnerable and ask for help. It's very powerful. I mean, you tell me, how does it feel when your husband comes to you and says, honey, you know, I need your help with something, you know?
Oh, brilliant. It's brilliant. Like you said earlier, as long as I'm giving the help to somebody else, it's so easy, because we're kind-hearted people, right? Like I'm a kind-hearted person by nature. That's and I love being kind to my dog and my friends, et cetera, et cetera. But you're right, for myself, really hard work, but super easy. Yeah. For my friends, one of my very best friends, and she would probably top the scale of very best friends. Her mother's not doing well and getting ready to make her transition as well. And she, the whole time I'm in the UK going through this crap, the crap that I was going through, she's calling me, even though her mother's very, very ill. She's calling me twice a day, or texting me at the very least. Shall we chat? There's a time difference, right? So yeah. So she was all over it though, whether she was texting me or calling me, she was all over it. Mm-hmm. And of course, that was super, super comforting to me, because I really trust her like these people trust you, like the safety. My girlfriend is my safety zone girl. She's my Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. So that's fine and dandy. So I do come back home. She's the first one that comes to visit me, first one. And I know her mom is passing, like her mom is very, very, very ill. And I'm holding her hand saying, okay, enough about me for the time being. I wasn't trying to resist what I was feeling, but I wanted to, with a compassionate heart now, help her through her. And so, you know, with divine guidance, and because I'm less in control, I'm just guided to call her or text her two or three times a day as well. And I'm not doing it to reciprocate what she did for me. It's just very naturally flowing to do that for her, not because she did something nice for me. It's just very, very natural. But she's now in a vulnerable position and she doesn't like it either. She said, Beth, I don't like that. Like we were both in vulnerable positions, and so we're going to learn and grow from it from each other.
Very many people like or want to feel or are comfortable being vulnerable, and I think that's part of our, I was going to say society, but it's part of our world, really. Like, it's like might is right. We need to be strong. We can't show weakness. And that really is a dead paradigm. It doesn't serve anybody. Just from the stories we're sharing, it's a beautiful thing, really, to open up your heart. And you know what? Yes, I'm in a point of weakness now. I need some help, you know?
Yeah.
And what is so, you know, where's the shame in that? Why don't we just go with that? Because we're not taught that. That's not the way we're raised. And, you know, we need to change those ways. And really, it's empowering.
I go back to little stories that I remember as a child being raised Roman Catholic. Again, I have no issue with Roman Catholicism. It was just very dogmatic back in the day. I think probably a lot of it has changed in a very positive way. But back in the day, we were taught that God is the only one that is in control, not in control, but God was watching us. God was not cooperating with us. God was watching us. Mm-hmm. And so you learn to relinquish, not relinquish. What am I trying to say here best is that you knew there was a you, mm-hmm. that you could control, because you weren't meant to be a sinner and you had the 10 commandments. And if you broke any of those, you know, you're going to hell. Like there was all that. But then there was this other being that was sitting somewhere in heaven, they called it, who was watching everything you were doing. So then you felt like you had to be more self-sufficient. I've got to be in complete control of those 10 commandments and make sure that I don't mess up any of them. Otherwise, I'm going to hell. And hell didn't look very pretty the way they were describing it, right? So there's an element of that. I'm going to explore that next. Now that we're having this conversation, that's what's coming up for me as well. There's another element to this. And I never prayed, you know, when you're taught to pray, I was never one that went, you know, on my knees and prayed to God and said, I'm going to be vulnerable here. I don't know what to do, blah, blah, blah. No, I prayed like I was 100% in control and I was going to cooperate with God, but I was in control. So that's another thing to explore with that. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the insights lead to change and change leads to, you know, elevation of consciousness, hopefully anyway. So, as we get close to wrapping it up, because we spoke about a lot of really cool things here and hopefully it's been really helpful for anybody listening. What's some of the aha or takeaways, like connecting the dots, as our friend Sarah would say, of all this information?
For me is to carry on having had a not so great experience, is to make sure that this is for me, and I would venture for anybody else who goes through some rough times, not to sweep it under the rug when things seem to be back to normal. That no, there's nothing normal. Everything has changed for me. Everything has changed for me. And I believe because I released control, still hard for me to say, just for the record.
Release control. That's your new mantra. I release control.
So even though I'm committed to that process again, there is still a tendency for me to fall back into old patterns of saying, no, it's okay. You can go back to controlling this. You can go back to controlling that. But darn it, I'm not doing it. Damn it, I'm not doing it. I am super committed because I believe in the principle of the universe giving me an experience that if I don't take as an opportunity for growth, then they're going to hit me up in the head with another one later. I'm not up for that. Thank you very much. If I don't learn something from this and carry on learning something from this, so it's not as simple as journaling, you know, for 10 minutes every day for a month and it'll all be figured out. This is just an ongoing thing. So I think the commitment to learning from an opportunity that came maybe wrapped up in a shitty package is very, very important for anybody. Keep unpacking it, keep processing it, keep talking about it to like-minded people, keep
feeling it.
Yeah, that's a good word. And be vulnerable with it. Be vulnerable. It's almost like the first place I go now, as much as I hated it. It's like the first place I go now when I sit in my private moments and say my prayers and get my day started and meditating and stuff like that. I'm feeling vulnerable. Sometimes I'm not, and I don't pretend I am if I'm not, but I can feel that vulnerability, that humility, that the anger and the frustration that is visceral in my body. Like, wow. It's like a little miracle. It's not a little miracle. It's a freaking miracle. Because I was going to control that. I was going to control it for the rest of my life. And this is what had to happen for that not to happen. So I've got to take that as a great big gift wrapped with a great big bow from the universe and unwrap it. That's what I've got to say in closing. How's that? What do you have to say in closing?
I love it. Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. And when I work with the guys, we close a lot of our meetings saying, I am happy, healthy, whole, and healed. You know, and I believe there's a lot of power in that, and it's empowering. So even like a suggestion, like if you're saying I'm vulnerable or I release control, because I'm just watching you and I'm hearing you say it, it's like, okay, you're doing it, but it's like you still don't really want to. So what if you said I release control and I'm vulnerable and it's empowering, you know, and really flip that switch, that it's really is a positive, empowering thing, because it is. And as you said, if I don't do this, it's going to hit me in the head. Well, it's already hit you in the back. So now you put it out there. If next time I talk to you, like, oh, I got a bad headache or I got a hit in the head, you'll know why. Okay. So release, be vulnerable, and be empowered, my friend.
Empowered by it. I love that. I love that. I'm going to write that one down, Waska, and use that as part of my mantra when I meditate later on in the day as well, because it's true. That is an empowering statement.
So I hope it helps everybody else as well.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for the opportunity too, to chat about it, because if you'd asked me to do this topic 6 weeks ago, I wouldn't do it.
I know. I did ask you 6 weeks ago. So kudos to you. Hey, everything comes around full circle. So tune back in. Beth and I will have some more really good stuff for you.
Visit IlluminatedWarrior.com if you'd like to go deeper and find out more about what's available within the Illuminated Warrior Men's Transformational Community. Tune in next time for more candid conversations for men and women about men on the Way of the Illuminated Warrior Talk Show every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Until next time, illuminate your path with loving kindness.